I do want to continue in our series that we've been talking about faith, because I think we're discovering some keys right now, or at least I am, I hope you are, discovering some keys to applying faith in your own life and how to appropriate the promises of God into your own life and how to begin to get those things to operate. Now, I understand that we have a lot of old life that sometimes we have to set aside and go, okay, I'm going to do it different now. I'm going to try to do this differently. I'm going to try to stay in line with the Word of God and follow the promises of God. And so let's just jump in here. The title of my message today is Faith That Sees. Faith That Sees. Now, the lifting up of the bronze serpent in the Old Testament is a type of the atonement. It's a type of Calvary, okay, for both forgiveness and for healing. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 21, where we see this happening. Numbers chapter 21, verse 6 through 9, it says, "So the Lord sent a fiery serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live.' So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, or if they had been bitten by sin, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." Now notice that none were to receive healing except on this condition: everyone that looks. If you didn't look, then you died. And just so we're clear, if you don't look at Calvary, you are going to die. I know it's narrow-minded of God to only have one way to get to heaven, but he is God, and that's the way he wants it. One way to heaven. I don't know exactly who we are to rewrite the book or to argue with him, but he has said that. So looking means to be occupied and to be influenced with what you're looking at. It is the equivalent of Abraham refusing to consider his own body and waxing strong in faith by looking at the promise of God, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. But I want to read this one part. Looking means to be occupied and influenced with what we are looking at. Now, I'm going to give you an example for some of us guys. Now, the girls will be able to relate to this, because when we did this, when we were younger — we don't do it anymore. Most of us guys don't do it anymore. But when we looked at a girl and we were walking with you, you went like this and you smacked us. You just, "What are you looking at?" "Nothing." "I'm not looking at nothing." "What? Nothing." See, to look means to occupy and be influenced with what we're looking at. See, here's the problem with some of us guys in the past — not anymore, right, guys? Amen? We don't do that anymore. We are not occupied by the young lady that walks by us, or the girl that walks by us, dressed so scantily. See, now I've got your attention. Now you're going like, "Well, Pastor, I know exactly what you mean to be occupied by what I'm looking at." Because that's exactly what God says. He says, "I want you to be occupied by your looking at me, at my word. I want you to be so occupied that nothing else distracts you. Because believe me, when something like that, in our example, so when a young lady walks by for the guys, we look, we're occupied. Now, it doesn't always make you guys happy if we're with you. But I guess, does that ever happen when you guys see a guy walk by? I probably does. You're probably just better at not letting us know. Yeah, you hide it better. Okay. Thank you, honey, for sharing that on the weekend of our 24th wedding anniversary. Being occupied or influenced by our feelings or symptoms is reversing the condition which God requires. It's reversing it. So when we start to look at our circumstances that are so great, or our symptoms that are so great, when we begin to focus our attention on those and our looking and our attention goes to those, then we are reversing what God wants us to focus our attention on and to look at and to begin to put our gaze upon and to stare down, if you will. Looking means attention. After God gave the commandment of healing and revealed himself as our healer by the redemptive name Jehovah Rapha, which we studied about a month ago, the condition he laid down can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey my voice, obey the voice of the Lord your God, and observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. You want to get risen up in the things of God? You want the blessings of God to be happening in your life? Then focus your attention on him, on his words, on what he's decided. Not what you think is good, but what he has said is good. Amen? It means to attend, to heed to his word, to give in, to be responsive, to be humbled by his word, and to follow his word. That's what it means. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, that it is by our attention and heeding to God's word that we measure to ourselves his blessing. So the amount of effort you put into paying attention to his word is the amount of blessing that you get. Let me read the scripture here in Matthew 4:24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. The word of God is the seed, which, like all seed, when it is put in good ground, has the power to do its work. So when we take the seed and we put it in good ground, it has the power to do its work. The attention and heed to the word of God is the way to get it into good ground and to keep it there. Now, we must have a repentant heart, but our good ground is our ability to give attention, or our ability to look. Your ability to look is the good ground. It's what keeps it in the ground. It's what puts it in there. Now, yes, you have to have a repentant heart. You have to follow the commandments of the Lord. You have to be in right relationship with God. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we make our confession before God, we ask him for forgiveness, and then we go to the promise of God, and we begin to stare at the promise. We stare at it. How long do you stare at it, Pastor? Until you get it. Don't get it up out of the ground. Keep it in the ground. And how do you keep it in the ground, Pastor? You stare at it. You pay attention to it. You heed to it. You give in to it. You continually stare at it until it is. Well, Pastor, you mean I can't get distracted by other things? No. Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we allow him to get the seed out of the ground, out of our attention, out of looking, out of our sight, out of where we're looking, out of where we're focused. He can only do this by getting our attention turned away from God's word and onto our symptoms, onto our problems, onto what's going on around us rather than on his word. That's the only way he can stop you, is by getting your attention off of the thing you're supposed to be looking at. Look, here's the bottom line. Here's Calvary. Here's all the promises of God fulfilled at Calvary. Here it is. It's right here. It's that cross. Let's say it's that cross. Just out of an example. It's that cross. How many of you are not going to look at that cross if you want to be saved? Because if you get up and you walk out of this place today and don't look at that cross, you're going to hell. That's an example. Just an example. I can see somebody taking that when I'm running for president, taking that one scripture out of context, playing it over and over on the media. Jesus Christ is the only way. And you have to focus your attention on him and his word. If you take your attention off of that, you're lost. How do you get lost when you know the right way? You take your attention off of Jesus. Well, how does that happen, Pastor? You just don't pay it. You start paying attention to the things of the world. You start paying attention to what's going on around you. And the next thing you know, you're gone. You're down somewhere and you're like, how did I get over here? Because you took your attention off the things of God. Because you stopped being diligent every morning to wake up with that cup of coffee in the morning and spend a little time in the Word and spend a little time in devotion. You stopped doing that. You stopped being faithful to attend church every Sunday. You stopped coming on Wednesday nights. You stopped making church a priority and God's people a priority. That's how you got off track. Well, Pastor, how do I fix it? Well, you stop planning things on Wednesday night. You stop planning things on Sunday morning. You start attending. You start going. Listen, if you need 15 minutes of extra sleep, that snooze button, that sloth button, if you need that, then go to bed 15 minutes earlier. Get it on the other end. Because you need that first 15 minutes when you get up in the morning to roll your feet out of bed and look there and open up your Bible and say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? Oh, but that's old-fashioned. That's just religious. No, that's discipline. That's staring at the bronze serpent every day for your healing and your deliverance. That's looking into the face of God and saying, I cannot look anywhere else because these things distract me from your presence, God. That's what it is. That's what it has to be every day. Every day we can't allow the circumstances of our lives become so big that that's what we're looking at. Jonah called his symptoms lying vanities. I like that. Jonas, while in the whale, he said the symptoms of being here in this whale right now. Vanity. They're just not true. They're not where I'm supposed to be in my life. I'm not supposed to be in the belly of the fish. This is not where God has called me to be. These things are illusions of the devil in my natural life. And he said in chapter 2, verse 4, I will look again toward thy holy temple. And then in verse 9 he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Right in the middle, I'm just gonna start giving you thanksgiving right now, God, because I know this is not where I'm supposed to be. I will pay what I have vowed. In other words, I will follow through in the promise I have made to you. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. What does it mean to look? It means to look beyond the lying vanities of the fish. of the belly of the fish, to look beyond those, the natural circumstances of our life, to look beyond those things into the supernatural realm of God and see the promise of God for you by faith. Looking means expectation. To look unto God for salvation means to expect salvation from him. My faith says I am saved. I expect to be saved. I expect when the Lord calls me home and I die and I'm going and the rest of you are all standing around looking at my dead carcass, that I will be saved and in heaven, much happier than you might be at that very moment. Isaiah said, look to me. This is the Lord speaking. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Since God has provided the promises, we should dismiss from our minds the slightest thought that God will fail to fulfill his promises. I mean, if you got the promise from God, what are you thinking that he's not going to fulfill it? Okay, here's the only reason you would think that he's not going to fulfill it. Because you are not worthy. Because God is not a God that would lie. God is not a God that would withhold his promises from his children. So either you are not his child, or you just are not convinced of that fact. Because that's what would deter your faith, is that you don't believe that you deserve the blessings of God, that you do not believe that you believe that you deserve the salvation of God. Well, I got news for you. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but it's by his grace and his mercy that he has made a way for those of us that don't deserve it to have it. And it's not by your choice, it's not by your choice or what you've done or haven't done that makes you eligible for the promises of God. It's by what he's done and his sacrifice that makes you eligible. So stop thinking it's about you. It's about him, and receive. The word looks is also translated consider. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, we read, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed and bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Indeed, or instead of considering her age, she received faith by considering the word of God, his faithfulness, his promise. She stopped looking at her circumstances and said, okay, you know what, God, so far I've been looking at what's going on in my life and it's really not working for me. So you know what? This is what I'm going to consider doing. I'm going to consider that you are faithful and take you at your word. I'm going to look to your word and say, you are faithful. Because it's not working for me outside of that. And I guarantee you, it will not work for you outside of looking at his promises. The word look is in the continuous tense. We have to continue to look. It is a constant thing. It's not a mere glance. You don't just and go right back to what you're doing. It's a constant staring at God. It's a continuous staring until you are well or have received. You know, there used to be a saying called pray through. See, the old folks that we so easily don't understand and disregard, when they were going through the Great Depression and had no food and had nothing, they would get on their knees and they would pray through until there was a knock at the door and a bag of groceries sitting on their steps. See, we today think everything is ours because we deserve it. Because, well, I don't have to worry about it because, you know, that's just your job. You're supposed to do that. Well, listen, get up, get busy, because no one is going to take care of you the rest of your life except Jesus. And he ain't going to take care of you if you're a lazy fanny. Get up and get busy. And I just counseled someone this week. Stop looking for other people to make you happy. Get up. Start walking by faith. Start believing that God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Quit moping around. Get up. Of course, there were more excuses that followed. We must continue to look. It was by a steadfast faith that brought the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. The fulfilling progress goes on while we are looking at the promise. You know, we talked about it last week, and we said that, look, if you have the promise, you have the answer. We've got to stop looking for the answer, because the answer is in the promise. See, that's how you can have something before you have it. When Jesus said that when you believe that you have it, you will receive it. How do you get it before you have it? I know we've always wondered, well, how is it that we're supposed to have it before we have it? You have it because you have the promise. And the promise is all you need. Because in the promise is the answer. Because it won't go unanswered. The promise will never go unanswered. Because if we have faith in the promise, we have the answer. Because the promise is the answer. I know that's confusing somewhat, but just stop looking for the answer. Start looking for the promise. And then stare at the promise. Because if it's in God's word, then it is true. I hope that made sense. Did I get waters muddied up enough just to make it not make sense? By being occupied with our symptoms or feelings, we violate the conditions that God has set down and thereby turn off the switch to God's power when we look at our circumstances instead of the promise. As far as the optic nerve is concerned, or the natural eye, faith is the evidence of things not seen. But as far as the enlightened eye of our understanding are concerned, faith is the evidence of things seen. Walking by faith is walking by sight of a better kind. We are to spend our lives looking at the better things We are to spend our lives looking at far better things than can be seen by the optic nerve or the natural eye. We're to spend our lives looking at things that are far better than that. We see with the eye of faith the glorious things that are invisible to the natural eye. After all, it is the mind and not the optic nerve that sees. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus had a mind to save us all. Jesus had a mind to heal them all. He had a mind to set every captive free. That was the mind of Christ. Where is your mind? I know today we somehow believe that all possibly could get saved. That some get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a few get healed. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God promises the baptism of the Holy Spirit for every single child of God. Oh, what? Well, hasn't that passed away? No, not yet. When it does, you're not going to want to be here. Well, I know the Holy Spirit is sort of still working today. No, he is still working today. My goodness, he hasn't stopped. Acts chapter 2 was the beginning, and it ain't ended yet. Well, you know, that's not what I was taught, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize for your poor teaching. The truth is, the Word of God. The truth is that everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the truth. The truth is that if you ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, our Father in heaven will give it to you. And the truth is that by his stripes, you were healed. Truth. Well, it hasn't always worked for me, Pastor. I'm sorry. I apologize that your steadfast look was not long enough. Oh, you're blaming it on me, Pastor? What if it was God's will? It's not. He didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, by the way, it's my will that if you call on my name, I'm going to send you to hell anyway. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send you rocks. And if you ask for healing, I'm going to make you swell up and die even worse. There's nowhere. It's not in Scripture. So why do we consider that if God made a promise that somehow it's not for me? I'm just saying. Oh, now I made everybody uncomfortable. I'm sorry. You cannot see your money in the bank except with your mind. I mean, you put it in there and you hope that no one else spent it. When you write a check or slide your card, it is by faith with what you think is in there. By faith, what you see in your mind, not what you see in the natural. I mean, my goodness, I would save myself a lot of bank charges if I could actually always see what was in my account. But too often I use it by faith, and then I get a $30 reminder that I didn't really have that much faith. You all know what I'm talking about. Well, some of you do. Faith is the most rational thing in the world because it is based on the greatest facts and realities. It sees God. It sees Calvary where disease and sin were canceled. It sees the promises of God in his faithfulness, which are more certain than the foundations of a mountain. Mountains will crumble. Seas will roar. But the word of God will not change. It will stay steady. Faith sees Isaiah chapter 53 fulfilled at the cross and receives what belongs to us. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. And it repeats in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 1 Peter 2, 24, Hebrews 9, 28, and a myriad of other places throughout Scripture. We see the promises of God over and over again, and faith looks at those things and believes them. Faith looks at the Word of God and says, this is true. That's what faith is. Faith has a steadfast look at those things. Faith acts according to the Word of God. What the eyes of faith see, the hands of faith appropriates. It grabs a hold of it. This is mine by virtue of the promise of God. Well, aren't you being a little greedy, Pastor? No, this is what God said. Look, folks, if you see it with your faith, then grab it with your faith and don't let go. Hold on to it. It's just like it's the bronze serpent sitting in front of you, and you know if you let go at any minute, you will die. Because that's how important it is to grab onto the promises of God. Faith refuses to see anything but what God says and what God's doing. It refuses to look at other things and says, this is what God has said. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of all that God has for us, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. Have you got an imagination? Have you got the ability to ask? Can you humble yourself to ask and begin to think of the wonderful things that God has for you? According to the power that works in us, the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Man, I'm adding there, but that's all true. To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul was praying that the church of Ephesus would get the clue, that they would get all that God has for them, that they would stop seeing themselves as some kind of outcast, Gentile, that did not belong in the kingdom of God. Not one of the chosen ones, but they are the chosen. We are all the chosen of God. You are here for a purpose. You are here to hear these words today because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And until you get your attention on the things of God, you will never find your way. And you will never appropriate the blessings that you cry out for day in and day out until you focus your attention on the things of God, until we get to the place where God is the most important thing and nothing else is important, where our attentions are drawn to God and we are steadfast looking at the crucifixion of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection and saying, yes, God, everything has been paid right there. It is all mine because you have provided it for me. And begin to appropriate the promises of God into our lives. It doesn't change until you do. It doesn't change until you decide that what you want is the best for God in your life. I know there are those in this place right now that have been on a hard road, that have traveled the hard path, that have had tragedies that have happened in their lives. All of us have had things that have happened, except for maybe my wife and mom, you know, those guys perfect all the way through. But the rest of us, we've had problems. We've been in storms. We've been in battles. But we cannot allow those storms, those battles, to distract us from the promise of the Son of God and the hope that lies in him. We have to keep our attention on the things of God. To be distracted by other things is where we've gotten lost. And we have to stay focused on the things of God. Listen, if I could leave you with one thought, with just one thought. This is so important that if you don't concentrate your attention on this, on what we've talked about today, you will die. That's how important the Word of God is. If you do not focus your attention on it, you will die. Just like those that out of their own pride failed to look at the bronze serpent, died. The answer to their healing was in the bronze serpent. If they would simply look at it, they would be saved. And I'm telling you, this entire world needs to hear this message. If you will look to Jesus, you will be saved. But if you look anywhere else, you will die. That's it. I don't mean to be so harsh, but the truth is the truth. It's the Word of God is far more important than anybody else's philosophy. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word and the power of your promise.